Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Bird flu pushes the bean complex lower, but the corn managed to stage a very technically sound finish to the week, above $2 a bushel. We'll find out what's in store for the future today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Arlen Suderman. And right now, our panelists in studio are Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois. Let's open with this discussion, gentlemen. Were you impressed at all with the way the corn handled the downturn in the bean complex this week? And we'll start with you, Mike Georgie.
Oh, I think the corn is held good for a long time. And, it seems as 201 is finding a lot of buying support. And I don't see much more downside.
How about Bill Mayer?
Yeah, I would agree. I think the $2 level holding for the week was good. The buyer sitting here waiting for this magic number down in the 195 to 191 that everybody's talking about, the buyer sitting there waiting for that. It's kind of like the producer sitting there in the summertime waiting for 255 when cash corn's 250. So I think that you're going to see some buyers come in and say, I'm not willing to take that risk on the downside.
And Vince Reinecke, your impressions of the corn market for the week?
I'd have to agree. I guess the only thing I would disagree is that I think at some point in time we'll see a chance to buy corn, in the $1.90s. But again, at that point, we might not be at a situation where you'd want to do that. And I say that because, let's say Dease corn gets into delivery, obviously we're not going to want to own Dease corn at that point. So, I look for corn to dip into the $1.90s, but not in the near future.
You look out the window here in Champaign County and you think, for instance, that the corn has been harvested. She's all been put away for the week and for the year, but that's not the case at this point. If you're still harvesting corn, what do you do with it?
Other than
harvest it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just joking when I pause there, but certainly, I've told many before that in some cases, it's better through the combine and dump back on the ground than just leaving it stand in the field. And many farmers may not necessarily believe that, but it's much, much easier to get off the ground if you've already shelled it and put it back on the ground. So if that is the only option that you have, I've heard many farmers say the same, such things. Hopefully you can find, we've seen basis levels improve. So hopefully some of the elevators that have seen those basis improvements in their draw areas will be moving some grain, at somewhat of a profit so that they can, open a little more space for what's left to come in yet. But like you said, Todd, we don't have a great deal left to harvest here in Champaign County or Central Illinois, but there certainly are other places that are not in that same situation.
Vince Reinecke says store it, whether you have to put it on the ground or in the bin or at the elevator one way or the other. Do you agree with him, Bill?
I would agree. You store corn, but I think you need to keep a fairly close eye on things, especially out in the January and further out bids, because I think you're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel as far as basis is concerned, seeing barge freight come down this week and the river bids come back some. So, as you get to that decision point, you have to look and see where those basis levels are out there in the future.
From the Chicago Board of Trade, December corn finished the week like this, 203 and three quarters on the high. The low at 201 and a quarter, very narrow trading range for the week. December futures finished at 201 and a half. They were off 2 cents from last week's settlement price. July futures at 229 and three quarters were down three quarters. December oats at 165 and three quarters were off a penny and a half. And to round out the grains, December futures in the wheat pit, 339, the high, the low at 326 and a quarter. December wheat settled off 9 cents at 330, and July futures at 358 and three quarters were off 7 3/4. Let's stick around with the corn just a bit, and I want to explore this topic a little more. We've got corn that's on the ground. We've got corn in the bins. We've got corn in the fields. We've got corn all over the place. There was a lot of talk early on that the cash grain market would continue to break, and that would be really where the low in the corn market came, and that possibly the futures might hold steady. Would you subscribe to that feeling still?
Well, I think the corn market, there's the idea that we have a heck of a lot of corn out there, and that's pressuring it down. But you have the bull side saying the demand for corn is going to keep increasing. Ethanol production is going to keep increasing. We went from a 10.4 billion bushel usage this year to next year a 10.7, and eventually a 12 billion is what they're saying. And I think talk like that is helping us support this corn market.
Have you all turned around from being bearish the market to being friendly market this week?
You know, Todd, it's awfully tough to be terribly bearish when we're already at $2, you know. And traditionally, you look at charts consistently. And, you know, again, most of us talk futures numbers here because that's the only thing that's consistent in every area that we handle. But as I say, it's awfully tough to be terribly bearish when you're sitting at $2 on Dease corn. You know, I myself, I'm not looking for a great deal of movement to the upside in the corn market. Let's say it's a dime or 15 cents. But I look at the carry that's out there. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, I said, whether you got to put it on the ground or put it in the elevator or put it in your bin, you need to store it. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't be selling it for deferreds, too, though. So I would tend to encourage folks to, you know, you might be storing it, but you probably ought to have a price attached at some point in time, you know, for another delivery period.
I would agree. I think that I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm friendly on corn, but I think that we've at least stopped going down in the cash market. We're probably going to be somewhere around 60% done with harvest on Monday's report is what I would guess. And, you know, really, all in all, the harvest went fairly orderly here in the east. It's, you know, there's problems in the western belt, and we've got to get through that period where the forced sales, you know, there's elevators forcing sales, and we got to get through that. But, you know, I think things are getting to the point where as we move through the next 2 weeks here, you're going to see the harvest finish up in a fairly orderly fashion, even in the west.
Well, I think, you know, everybody's talking about store the corn and the basis is going to get better. But I think the question is, do you take your LDP now? Do you wait? Do you put your corn on loan? Allendale has a program. It's a LDP analyzer where we can come in and analyze what strategies you need as an individual to use on your operation. And anybody gives me a call, I will get it to them for free.
Hey, give us a peek now. What does it tell you at this point?
Basically, it depends who you are, but a lot of them take the LDP and actually use a put for protection out into March or May.
Any other strategies you guys have been using other than that kind of strategy?
Essentially, you know, minus taking LDP and selling deferreds, that's really what we're doing a lot of. And, you know, we really like selling the July in this case just because 240 plus or 230, I should say, July corn plus 45 cents is 275 futures roughly, so.
I like selling the deferreds, whether you sell cash or whether you sell the futures, depends on your comfort level and what your basis levels are out there into the, you know, January, March, May, July period. But I think the futures, if you have some concern about futures going up and margin calls, you can look at some call options to protect that.
One more question on the corn market. Mike mentioned a 10.7 billion bushel usage. Will it be higher or lower, do you think, by the time we get to the end of the year and we'll go across the board? Vincent, give me reasons why it might be one way or the other.
Well, I can only hope that it'll be higher, and I say that simply because, you know, we've got cheap corn. Cheap corn tends to breed its own demand, if you will. And again, you know, we talk more and more about ethanol every year, and with gasoline as high as it is, we joked earlier before we started the program that in many ways ethanol plants almost have a license to print money at this point in time. And that is a joke, but nonetheless, you know, ethanol seems to be a good business, and it's great for the future of this country, so we need to be pushing it.
I think that it's going to be right in that ballpark. I don't think it's going to vary a lot from that 10.7. And the thing that continues to impress me is the global stocks to use on corn is still declined this year, even with last year's huge crop and this year's big crop. I think that's really a key.
Well, I agree with all that. I think the ethanol demand, you have car dealers on TV advertising they're going to make more ethanol E85 vehicles. That's going to want a higher usage for ethanol. Cattle placements today were 99% on placements, so that's going to demand more feed. Depends what the winter's like, if we're going to need more feed to keep these get these cattle fat, too.
A number that you need to call right now, or very shortly if you get the opportunity, because we are in the middle of Fun Drive, the last day of Fun Drive here at WILL, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Of course, I'll give you more information on that in just a moment. Soy complex now. Bean futures finished like this for the week. November beans, 599 and a half. The high, the low at 571. Settlement price there at 572 and a quarter. They were off 17 and a quarter from last week. July futures at 601 and three quarters. We're down 15 and a quarter. All the talk in the bean pit is about bird flu. Will it really have that much of an impact?
That's something that none of us can necessarily decide or answer at this point in time. But I think we can certainly say that you get rid of the birds to try and prevent the bird flu. That means you don't use near as much feed, i.e. soybean meal, which doesn't speak well for our soybean market necessarily. And you know, you can consistently look at our soybean supplies, as far as world stocks are concerned, are consistently increasing. You know, you can look back the last 5 years and there's been nothing but, I don't want to say a straight up movement, but it's certainly been in the upward direction. And, you know, we have to remember that. In many ways, you could almost say that the fact that we're even close to $6 is in some ways a gift. So just remember that in your thinking, as you're thinking about what you need to be doing with your beans.
Has anybody seen analysis? Because it's had just a huge impact in the bean market, but hasn't had much of an impact in the corn. And I'm wondering what the analysis is. I mean, the poultry flocks obviously are not just eating bean meal. So why is it that corn doesn't move as much? Or is it just simply that there's so much more bean meal that's moved into the poultry flocks? Anybody seen numbers on that?
I think I haven't seen numbers, Todd, but I think part of it is because of the exports of bean meal from the United States into the areas where the bird flu seems to be a problem is the reason it's probably affected. I'm not so sure that the bird flu situation has changed a whole lot. I mean, it is spreading. It definitely is a factor. We definitely could see that as a negative factor. But I think part of what's happened is the media's picked up on it in the past 3 weeks, and there's just all kinds of stories out there, and that makes the market nervous, and that's probably got more to do with it than you know, the actual how much demand are we going to lose type thing.
And then
Bill, I was just going to say, Bill, are you trying to say this is like mad cow?
Well, I think there's some similarities there.
Yeah, mad cow, BSC, foot and mouth, one of those sorts of things. All right, let's round this out just a bit. What's your best set of advice for farmers? And the beans should be pretty much done across to Central Illinois at this time. Are they done? Anybody got a better set of advice on what to do with this market? I'm sure they've got it all stored and put away. What do you want to do with it now?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of people, if you're not at LDP price, at LDP protection, you need to take some downside protection on beans because of what we've talked about. You've got the highest world-ending stocks ever. You've got demand that could be slowing down. You know, I've had guys say $7 beans, but the way the stocks use ratio compares to other years, we could be at $5 just as easy. So downside protection is probably the best way to go.
On the Mercantile Exchange this week, October live cattle had a high of $90.95, a low at $88.10. The live cattle settled $88.57.5. They were up 60 cents from last week. And the October feeder cattle at $115.95 were up, or rather down, at $162.5 from last week. Lean hogs, December futures, $61.90, the high, the low at $59.82.5. They took over the lead option from the October, so this is December to October settlement prices, 60.77.5. The settlement price for the December, it was down 6.60 from last week's October settlement. October bellies at 88.20, and they were up 25. From the Cattle on Feed report Friday afternoon, on feed at 100%, those placed at 99% and marketed at 101%, the big number there, of course, being the placed at 99%, and most of the expectation was for a 96% placed, but there are a lot more feeder cattle that went into lots than most had expected in the trade.
Probably a little bit bearish on the nearbys, I would say, but I wrote here in my notes, cash is king, I think, and that's probably what we'll be trading as we get very far into the week next week, is what the cash market's doing.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Illinois weather this week was a tale of two seasons. Everyone enjoyed unseasonably warm weather the early part of the week, but by the end of the week there was a definite feel of fall in the air. Temperatures continued well above normal through Tuesday across all of Illinois. A cold front dropped through the state during the day on Wednesday, and by Thursday, extensive cloud cover and showers kept temperatures in the 50s and low 60s. Despite the cooler weather, temperatures for the week averaged 3 to 4 degrees above normal. The weather across Illinois remained dry until Wednesday night and Thursday, allowing harvest activities to approach completion in many areas. Rainfall was generally light, except in southwestern Illinois, where 1 to 2 inches of rain fell in the areas east of St. Louis. October has been a very dry month so far, which has been great for harvest, but not so great for alleviating drought conditions in northern Illinois. Producers with harvesting left to complete will have a good opportunity to do so after this weekend. Much colder weather will spread across Illinois for this weekend and the first part of next week, but then temperatures will moderate by midweek. After some scattered showers this weekend with the advance of the colder air, the weather should remain dry the remainder of next week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. We're now joined by Arlen Suderman, who's a marketing expert with Farm Progress Publications. Hi, Arlen. Thanks for being with us today.
Good to join you today.
Tell me about the corn market and what your view of it is at this point.
Well, I pretty much agree with our panel from the standpoint that our downside is limited. I am one of them who still expects the corn futures, nearby corn futures, to touch $1.95, which is support on the long-term weekly charts. That we're in a market that doesn't fall lower, but it leaks lower, and those markets are oftentimes difficult to turn around, and I think we're going to struggle on into early November with that. But the main thing that we need in corn now is we need to get into November, we need to get the crop off the ground in the northwestern Midwest, and we need to get soybeans turned around. I think we're going to be able to do that as we move into November, and so I look for the cash market to lead the futures higher, and that's where we'll see most of the movements in the cash market.
Arlen, I know $1.95 isn't too terribly far below where we are, but last year we were in a similar situation and looked to go to $1.91. Is there a reason, and most thought it would be much lower than that, is there a reason really that you think it has to go down to $1.95?
Well, let's not overlook the dependency on charts that many of the traders depend on, and just the fact that we've still got corn looking for a home. We've got some locations where farmers are being forced to sell because storage is tight, and just in order to find a place to put their corn, to dump their corn, they have to sell. We've got to work through that. And I just think that end users have no reason to panic, even though if I was an end user, I'd be buying up because it's a good price. But I don't think they need to panic because this isn't the type of market where prices are going to just all of a sudden jump a dime. And so they can be patient. There's really no reason for this market to go higher, and that allows things to just keep leaking lower. And if you look back at history, oftentimes we'll have a couple false bottoms, and then we'll finally flush it out and flush down into the $1.90s or so before we come back.
Yeah, Arlen, I just thought let's take a minute and talk about spreads, not necessarily just corn, but let's also talk about beans. And I'm just curious what your opinion is in general. You know, corn spreads, do we see those widen out as we start getting into delivery, a delivery of the Dease, or you know, should guys be pushing those to roll, you know, really waiting to roll in the corn, and same thing in the beans, or what are your thoughts? Should we just take what's there now?
Well, I look for things to go pretty close to full carry as we get close to delivery. But most farmers who are just looking at making the simple marketing decision what to do, they got to be selling those deferreds. And frankly, for anything that's stored on the farm, I like selling that July futures or doing a hedge to arrive. But personally, I like selling the July futures so that we get this winter and we start increasing talk about shortage of acres next year and we get a technical bottom in the July contract at that point, then we could lift that position and write it back up if acreage in fact does look like it's going to be short.
Yeah, Arlen, I know you're one that looks out to the future quite a bit, and are usually one of the first ones to be looking at new crop. What have you got in mind for December 06 corn? Have you got any targets in mind there, and what kind of numbers would make you start making some sales?
Well, I usually start, and I would continue to do so this year with the stocks. And we've got pricing a few of those new crop bushels anytime I can get December 06 corn above 250. But I'm really looking at an opportunity to price between 260 and 270. I think that we'll get the volatility. If we look at the behavior of the speculative money in recent years, we look at world stocks at 30-year lows, and of those stocks, the U.S. holds 50% of those stocks. That's an 18-year high for market share. Now, that's why we have low prices now, but that means if there's a hiccup anywhere in the world has to come to us for stocks. And right now we've got, well, after rains this weekend, probably half of Argentina's corn belt still pretty dry and having some germination problems. We've got a little bit of dryness affecting Brazil, but more of a factor in Argentina. South Africa is a little bit of dryness affecting them. The margin for error is very narrow, and at some point as we get into 2006, I think the speculative money will drive those new crop prices up there, and we'll get that chance at 260, 270.
I have a follow-up question on that, because I'm still wondering why it is that you're feeling that the market will leak lower. If you look at the marketplace around the globe, China bringing in just a little smaller crop probably than they have, second largest crop on the planet. But their usage continues to go up, and they're eating a lot more red meat with a middle class that is as large as the entire U.S. population.
Well, that's the difference between long-term dynamics and short-term. I look for us to eventually be shipping corn into southern China while they export out of northern China. I don't think that'll happen yet this marketing year, but that long-term, that's what I see. But short-term, we've got piles of corn across the Midwest, and this market's going to struggle until those piles are picked up, and the path of least resistance is lower. So it's not that I'm particularly bearish from this point. I just think if you look at the dynamics of the market and kind of the overall mood, I don't see anything to really turn the train around. And so I just see momentum taking us down there. But, you know, that's only 6 cents away from where we are now, not a big thing for the market to accomplish, and then we start moving up.
Arlen, with the Deese looking at 195, what do you anticipate for the March contract? Do you anticipate it to maybe close, expire at the 195, or what's the bottom for that?
No, I really don't. Once we touch at 195, assuming that we do, then I look for the Deese to come back up into the 205, maybe even 210 range, but then once it expires, yes, the March comes down and tries to fill that gap. But I look for us to go through the winter with the nearby futures contract, which is going to be March for the most part, kind of trading in the 215 to 225 range. So that with basis improvement gives us some opportunities then to market some grain.
Arlen, we appreciate you being with us today.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Arlen Suderman is with Farm Progress Publications, joining us on Commodity Week. Our guests are Mike Georgi of Allendale, Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing. And that does wrap up this edition of Commodity Week. We would like to give each of them a final word for the day. We'll start with you, Vince Reinecke.
Well, I just, again, like most of us have discussed here, I just would urge you to you know, take that LDP, but not spec the market. You know, you can play a little bit, but I would say that the deferreds are there. They're giving you a great opportunity, and that's what you need to be doing. Bean market, you know, sell the carry and be happy with what you're getting here in this case, and recognizing that you could have a lot less.
Vince Reinecke is with Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois.
I'd like to just second what Arlen said about the cash corn market leading the futures back. I think watch that cash corn market. That's going to give you the clue as to when we have made the bottom.
And Mike Georgi of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois.
Well, I'd like to say what I touched on earlier. Give me a call. We have an LDP buddy analyzing strategies on taking your LDP and how to stay profitable in the market that has 9 different strategies. So give me a call.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Be sure to tune in next week for all of our ag programming on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason.